Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That's indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email me your stories. It's Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Social media, we're all over the place there. Interacting away, and I'd say, I don't know if it's tomorrow or one of the coming days, got a contest I'm working on putting together.
Ooh.
To give away some of the audiobooks from Oscar.
Okay.
He has his book out. As you know, we interviewed him a couple, been a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar's Book of the Dead. We have some hard copies and we have some audiobook copies. I think the first thing I'm going to do is do a giveaway on some of the audiobook copies in the coming days. And we'll announce that here on the show on what you need to do, no purchase necessary, to win that, okay?
Yes.
Or to at least be entered to win some of those. I think we got like 10 copies, something like that, to give away. So
okay,
we'll do that. So be sure you're tuning in the next couple of days to find out how to win those. I believe it's Audible download codes. So cool stuff. I just have to look at the logistics and how to distribute those because they're codes and you have to be very specific on how this works and
sure.
All that. So it's coming up. We'll also do some giveaways on his actual hard copies of the book as well in the coming weeks or months. Or we got some fun stuff planned for that. So there you go. That's all the housekeeping I have. We're sitting here waiting for severe weather, which is always fun.
Yeah.
Which puts me on complete edge and probably you too.
Yeah, but I'm better than I used to be.
Yeah, you've gotten better. I've gotten worse.
Yeah.
It's like everything, like, just kind of like if you had like the scales, you know, the old
teeter-totter
scaled, it tipped. Mm-hmm. And it didn't like get to be where like both of us like went and got better at it. It's like one of us got worse and one of us got better. And it's kind of still evenly tips.
Yeah.
So there you go. I always think about back when I was at the, at least here we have like a storm room we can go to.
Mm-hmm.
Back in radio days, it was probably the best radio station for a storm would have been my first one where it was literally down there surrounded by rock.
Uh-huh.
And everything. It was in the ground. So you were good if something happened, you know. You have to crawl out of the building collapsing on top of you. But, I mean, we're talking like a 100-year-old building, so.
And that may very well crumble and fall.
It could. You know, it could. And it makes you wonder, though, it's been around that long. Maybe it's been through something before, and maybe who knows. But a lot of the other ones were just like the last one I was at in Kansas, in Wichita, in Tornado Alley. It was always like, well, where the hell do you go? There was a basement, but it wasn't a great one. It was kind of like halfway into the build, you know,
mm-hmm.
like a half basement, half of it's fairly exposed. And I never really quite, I had like a game plan of going to hiding underneath a workbench in a shop room, kind of like in one of the corners. fingers and hoping for the best.
Okay.
You're just kind of screwed in buildings like that because there's so much electricity and everything. And if shit goes to hell and electricity's, you know,
everywhere.
Yeah, it can get really bad really quick. And like, I think some of the most secure rooms that were completely concrete, mm-hmm. you were surrounded by nothing but electricity. Mm-hmm. So you got rain coming in and electricity and wind if it blows open, and not going to end well.
No.
So, good times. Good times. These are the things I think about.
Are you feeling better talking about this?
I don't know. I guess I think back to, I'm comparing what I used to have to deal with on a day like this, being there, and what I have now. So I feel more secure in what I have now.
Okay, good.
So, there you go. Are you?
I'm fine.
Okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first caller. Hi.
My name is Mariah. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I have kind of a creepy one for you. So when my friends and I were younger, we would always dabble with the Ouija board, which I know everyone always says not to, but we had really had no creepy experiences. They were always very nice and pleasant, and until this one. So my friends and I would always put the Ouija board up on top of one of my friend's old amps, like a guitar amp. It was broken. It didn't work. So we just kind of used it as like a nightstand table kind of deal. And at the time, we thought that you weren't supposed to have the Ouija board on the floor because it was disrespectful to spirit. So we had the Ouija board resting on the amp, and we had been on it all night. And now I know that if you get the same spirit over and over and over again, that it is attached to your board. But at the time, we didn't know that. So we always got the spirit named Gail. And so we talked to Gail all the time, all day, all night. We got kind of a little obsessed with it at this point because, you know, it's kind of like a cell phone to the other side. It was very cool to us. So one morning we had woken up and we said, hey, let's get on and talk to Gail. So we go over to the amp and we set the Ouija board up on top of it. And again, it is not plugged in. There is not a guitar connected to it. It is simply a broken amp. We sit down to talk to Gail and nothing happens. So we think, oh, that's kind of weird. He or she always gets on and talks to us. So all of a sudden, we hear the sound of like an old radio tuning. Like, you know, that sounds like it's trying to find a channel or a station. And both my friend Molly and I looked at each other in sheer terror thinking, oh my God, what's happening? Little did we know it was about to get so much worse. All of a sudden, it sounds like it finds a station, and then it's silent for a second. And we think, oh, my goodness, what's happening? And then in this deep southern preacher voice, we hear, there is a devil. And it just clicked off. And I can't even tell you the fear, the panic. You know that feeling where you get so scared that you can't feel your feet and your legs? Like, we went numb. I know I did, at least. And I can probably speak for Molly as well when I say that is the scariest thing that has ever happened to us. Both of us were pretty much climbing on top of each other down the hallway, trying to get as far away from the board as possible and out the back door. Needless to say, we got rid of the board after that. We read some things about burning and burying, so we actually did both. We burned it and then buried the ashes, and nothing happened after that. No, you know, the board didn't end up back in our house or anything like that. So there's that story. Scariest story ever. But I also had a question for your listeners. When I was little, I never saw anything, but I would wake up in the middle of the night all the time, and I would have my bedpost shaking. Like, my bed would be vibrating. I didn't have any, there was no logical explanation for this happening. You know, I didn't have, you know, anything that could have done that. My bedpost would shake. It would scare the hell out of me. I would run out to my parents' room, and I would get this overwhelming sense of dread, like I was going to die. I had panic attacks every night, and I slept until my parents' bedroom until I was, you know, quite a bit older, like 12 years old. I would be in there, you know, a couple times a week when this would happen. And I would hear my name. It would start very slow in a hushed whisper, and then it would speed up and then slow back down. Like, it would say, Mariah, and then it would slow way back down to how it was in the beginning. So I guess my question is, has anybody else had an experience like this where their name is being said that way or their bedposts are shaking? And again, this was when I was much younger, and I have not had any paranormal experiences since then. So I guess I'm just wondering if anybody else has had something like that happen to them or their kids or anything. I hope you haven't, but at the same time, it would be awesome to get some validation on that. I love your show. I have a great time listening to it. I play it all the time. You guys cannot put out enough episodes to keep me content. I'm telling you, you guys did an awesome job. I hope to call back and tell you some more stories. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Well, the first part of the story,
mm-hmm.
I think something, if it was the same spirit that they'd always been talking to, was trying to let them know that they shouldn't be playing with that.
Like, hey, you can talk to me and you may get me sometimes, but not all the time?
Yeah, I think something was just kind of messing with them to scare them so that maybe they wouldn't keep doing it and run into something much worse.
Sure, I could see that.
Yeah. And then the second part about the bedposts shaking, bed shaking, that, you know, we hear about that all the time. Now, you know, depends on the kind of bed, if you have bedposts or not, but these other stories that we have about the beds shaking, it's almost much more violent, like something's lifting it up and shaking it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that kind of goes in the same category or not.
I think it's kind of hard to tell, and it's kind of hard to know if it's connected to the Ouija board. I suppose it very well could be.
I don't know that it is. That might have even happened before the Ouija board stuff.
That's true.
It sounds like she was younger when the bed was going on.
Yeah, that's true. It's difficult to, it may have been something that's just there, then mm-hmm. it was communicated with once they did the Ouija board, and that was just kind of its initial sign of it. But hard to really, know for sure.
Sure.
It was almost like, they have the radios now or the communication boxes that do just that skim,
mm-hmm.
It almost sounds like this was a version of that without like actually having the device that's made to do that.
Yeah.
Rather creepy for it to land specifically on that statement.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good story. Thank you for sharing that with us today here on the show. We do appreciate that. 855-853-4802. The phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share those experiences that you've had with the dead with all of us. Hi.
Hi, my name is Heather, and I live in Tennessee. This actually took place in Georgia, where I am from. Kind of a little backstory to this. It's actually kind of really short. And I know that this was, like, straight up paranormal. There was, like, nothing, out of the ordinary or whatever. This was, like, straight up paranormal. Backstory, I had been dating a guy, and we had been dating for about 2 or 3 months, and which I had already knew him prior to us dating. Well, anyway, he had actually died in a car accident one night when we were actually arguing. One of his friends and my friends, we kind of just hang out after he passed away because, it's kind of the only thing that me and his friends had, to kind of talk about and keep each other's memory of him alive. So anyway, his friends had come over to my house and we were hanging out, and it was probably, maybe like 10, 11 o'clock at night, and we were outside jumping on my trampoline, and we just got to the point where we got tired, so we just both was just laying down on the trampoline, and we were sitting there talking, like I said, nothing out of the ordinary, just kind of chilling, and I look over at my friend, and I see this hand, like, on his shoulder, like, I guess, like, right at the bottom of his shoulder, like, going to his chest. And it, like, it was a freaking handprint. A hand. Like, I could see every fingernail, every knuckle. I could even see, like, the little, like, how you have, like, hair on your fingers? Sometimes, like, at the bottom of your fingers? I could see that. Like, I could see every detail of this hand. but there was nobody else on the trampoline with us. It was just me and him. And the part that freaked me out was, like, my boyfriend had just died, like, 3 or 4 weeks earlier. And it was like, I don't know, it was just this creepy, but there was no arm, there was no body, there was no figure, just a hand. And I don't know, all I know is that it just creeped me out so bad. Like, I jumped up and I got off the trampoline and I just kept backing away from my friend because I was like, did you not see that? Did you not feel that? You know, and he's like coming to me, and as soon as he moves, the hand just disappears. I mean, straight up disappears, nothing, and I've never seen it since. And I kept asking him, I was like, are you sure you didn't feel it? You didn't see it. Did you not see it? And he's like, no, I didn't see it. I didn't feel anything. And I was like, I swear to freaking God, there was a hand on your chest. I don't know. How do you not feel that? And to this day, he still will not admit that he saw it or anything. And now I don't even know if he felt it or not. But I seen the hand, and I could. I see every little finger. I see every little finger, every little detail, every fingernail, everything. And still to this day, it freaks me out. And I was probably a freshman in high school, so it wasn't like my mind was playing tricks on me or anything like that. And I guess I was just kind of more or less curious as to, have you guys had a story like that, or if anybody out there has had an experience like that or anything, you know, I don't know, maybe you guys could kind of help me out with that and see if that was, you know, if you guys think that was real or if my mind was playing tricks on me to actually just see a hand. But I'm telling you right now, on my life, anybody's life, there was a handprint there, or a hand there on his chest, and I just don't know how he couldn't feel it. If you guys could maybe analyze that and tell me what you think, that would be so awesome, and I would love to hear what you guys have to say about that. And also, really quick, I heard your announcement about the dream meaning thing, and I...
She's excited.
She's excited. Yep. She got cut off. Yep. Okay. We've had other ghost stories about hands. We had mm-hmm. one that was like a hand that came crawling out of a closet and mm-hmm. terrorized a kid. Other body parts, we've had like the waist down ghost where it looked like a swimsuit, bottoms and legs.
And another part was there too.
Just the swimsuit bottoms and the legs and the feet. And then God, we've had a lot of stories, just partial like pieces of ghosts. They're more mm-hmm. rare, but I would say that, you know, we get that. But too, I think with the whole thing with the friend not feeling that, you know, maybe that was not intended for the friend. It was no. just intended for her.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. You know, I think she saw it. I mean, for what she, you know, at least in her terms, in her reality, she saw that the hand.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, barring any sort of, you know, psychotic lapse where suddenly you're seeing things that are not there, which I don't think this was, mm-hmm. You know, I think it was just simply, this is the reality that you saw. And I think sometimes these ghosts, if you will, they will come only to certain people, and only certain people will be seeing them on their own terms.
Yeah.
And that is their own reality when it's there. And it's not to say that, well, you're having some sort of episode and this is what's making it. Like, no, I think it's like a frequency thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reason why, you know, dogs can pick up on a certain sound and other animals can pick up on certain sounds that we can't. It's not that the sounds aren't there. It's just only they are. It's directed at them.
Yeah.
It's on their level to pick up. And I think we all have a certain level of that, of different levels of where or how wide our frequency expands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if someone's confused about that, for example, you have like a radio. You know, I think the lowest on an FM radio is like 88.
Okay.
And then the highest is like 106.9, I believe, or 107.9 is as high as it
goes.
Yeah, 107.9. And That doesn't mean that the FM frequency starts and ends there. It's just that's what the radios pick up on, and that's what they're designed to pick up on. But if you could, if you had a transmitter, you could broadcast on FM 52.1 if you wanted to. And then if you had a receiver for it, that would pick it up. And I think all of us, we have a certain level of band that's pretty standard. But I don't think all of us necessarily end at 88 or start at 88.1 and end at 107.9. I think some of us reach up to whatever it is in our own frequency and go below it on the other end.
Yeah.
So I think that's, and everybody's kind of different. Some are much more expansive than others to the point where they actually see the damn things all the time. So that's my thoughts.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi there, Tony and Jenny. This is Rob from Portland, Oregon. I've called like a few years ago, I feel like maybe 2 years ago, and you put my story on the air. I called about my high school basement being haunted, and you guys commented on that. And I also said when I called the first time that I've just had things happen to me my whole life. I'm pretty sensitive to all of it. And some new things have been happening. Something happened literally this morning. It is 8:52 a.m. right now. And when I woke up this morning, something immediately happened to me. But before I tell you that, I'll tell you the lead up. So about a week ago, my mom was home alone, and we live in this older Victorian style house in southeast Portland, where a lot of these old houses are, these old craftsmen's and stuff like that. A lot of history in this area. But my mom is home alone, and she was drinking a sparkling, like a lime LaCroix or something like that. And she's sitting at her desk, and she says she was on her computer, and the can just slid across her desk. And I was like, are you sure you didn't, like, bump the desk or anything? And she was like, no, I, like, put the can on the desk. Like, I tried to move it. Nothing was happening. And I was like, okay, so that's weird. 3 weeks ago, before that happened to my mom, I was sitting in my dining room, and the fan in the dining room turned on. I was home alone. And the only way to turn the fan on is by a remote. The remote is in a junk drawer in the kitchen that I hadn't had gone in all day. So the remote just is for turning on the fan, not the light. So when you flip the switch, the light turned on and nothing else. And so I was really weirded out by that when that happened. But I just, like, said maybe the remote, like, shifted in the drawer and it turned on, but it was like that shouldn't have happened type of thing, but whatever, like I let it go. And then this thing happened with my mom, and then the day after the thing happened with my mom, well, it was kind of like the night, like I woke up around 1 a.m. and I had to use the restroom, so I got up and I went to the bathroom, and I have these like little shelves above my toilet that have, like, a box of matches with a cute quote on them and, like a candle and, oh, I have I have Poopery, which if you haven't tried, I totally recommend. It's great. And, you know, this box of matches that I've had forever and the Poopery were in the toilet, like, inside. So I just, like, said, oh, well, maybe, like, these shelves are, like, flimsy and the poopery and the matches just fell in the toilet, you know? like, not really thinking anything of it. So I go and I'm taking out the stuff that fell on the toilet, and under the poopery and the matches is a hair product of mine. And I found this really odd that this would be in the toilet, because the hair product, I used it that night before I went to bed, and I put it on my sink because earlier in the day I actually damaged my hair using a flat iron. So I was doing a treatment on it. And so it was really odd that that specific hair item was in the toilet along with the poopery and the matches, because I left it on the sink. Like, I specifically remember putting it down on the sink and being like, I'm going to use this in the morning before I have work. So it wouldn't have fallen. There's no way that that could have fallen from the sink to the toilet. There's like a good 3 feet gap in between, and there's a trash can that sits in between the sink and the toilet. So there's just no way. Like, that, it doesn't make sense, basically. Like, it was just, it's just really confusing. So we've kind of just had radio silence for like a week, I guess. Like, nothing really has been going on. I haven't been sleeping well, but I just have been equating that to, you know, work and being stressed out. But this morning, something really weird happened to me. I was in my bed. I had literally just woken up. I had just turned off one of my alarms. And I was rolling over. And my alarm was on snooze, so I nodded off for a second. I literally closed my eyes, like literally closed my eyes, and instantly was like in a lucid dream. But like instantly, like no time passed. Like, I literally shut my eyes and was in a lucid dream. Like, I knew I was in a dream. And in this dream, it was like 2 seconds long, like maybe three. In this dream, I'm with someone, and I can't see who they are, but I know them. And we turn this corner, and whoever I'm with just, like, yells, "Holy shit, that girl just flew out of nowhere!" And we look down this hallway. It looks like a hallway of, like, a school. And this woman in, like, this old Victorian dress is staring me down like she wants to, like, hurt me. Like, she is, like, charging me full throttle. She is, like, coming at me as fast as humanly possible. Like, maybe even more than humanly possible. Like, she was coming at me fast. And right when she got up to my face, I snapped out of the dream. And I had sleep paralysis, and I couldn't move. But I could still, like, feel my bed and feel the covers, you know? So when I slipped into this lucid dream, I was laying on my right side, completely on my right side, because I have to, like, sleep on my side. I can't really sleep on my back. It's just a comfort thing. So I'm sleeping on my right side, right? When I'm in the sleep paralysis, I feel my body moving, like, against my bed sheets, against the comforter, against the pillow. Like, I can literally feel my body being pulled or moved in some way. I wake up and it's literally been, like, 2 minutes, because I looked at my clock immediately. My alarm just had gone off. I wake up. Not only am I not on my right side, I'm not even on the side of the bed I fell asleep on 2 minutes ago. I'm now on the left side of the bed, up against the wall. Like, my back is to the wall. Like, it's like as if somebody came to the edge of my bed and pushed on my chest and pushed me all the way up to the other side of my bed, up against the wall. And it was the creepiest thing that has ever happened to me in my entire life. And my first thought was to call your show, because I have been a long time listener. I think I feel like I'm one of the originals. I have been around since, like, literally the beginning, I feel like, because I don't even know. I think I've been listening to your show for as long as it's been on the air, maybe, like, almost 3 years now. I mean, I think I started listening, like, in 2014. I think that's when you guys may have started your podcast. But I wanted to call and tell you guys immediately what happened to me, because I wanted to get your perspective on what you think it is. Like, what is going on? Like, that's not normal. And when I snapped out of that sleep paralysis and I noticed, like, that I was in a different position in my bed, like, up against the wall, like, not even, like, on my side, like, someone just, like, pushed me, and, like, I could feel it happening, it, like, freaked me out. But I wanted to call you guys and see what you thought. So hopefully you put this on air. If not, I might call back, tell you it again, because I feel like it's a relatable story. But anyways, thanks so much for everything you do. I am an EPP, and I do love listening to those EPP episodes. They're very thrilling. And if you don't have an EPP membership, I highly recommend it, because those EPP stories, let me tell you, they get ya sometimes. Anyways, thanks so much for everything you guys do. I love this show, and I will continue to listen. Have a great, great, great day. Bye.
Thank you for the story, and thank you for being with us for so long. We do greatly appreciate that. When you actually have something like that where there's physical movement involved, mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there's a lot of signs of sleep paralysis, can you still really consider it sleep paralysis, or is it just some sort of, like, paranormal paralyzation?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm kind of concerned, because it seems like there's a definite escalation. Mm-hmm. Each thing he described was a little bit more, well, watch this.
Yeah.
Well, watch this next thing I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I would just really stay on top of it as far as being aware of what's going on. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you feel like enough's enough, I would try asking it to leave.
Yeah. I'm curious if even like a move would help, or, I mean, that would determine if it's following you or if it's resident evil to the building.
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
And that may not be something that they can do. I would try asking first to see, because it may just be something that's wandered in.
Yeah. And it's there now, mm-hmm. and it wants to have some fun. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately its definition of fun is not what yours is. So it's just creepy.
Yeah.
Creepy. Thank you for the story. I do appreciate that. Thank you for being an EPP as well. If you guys want to be EPPs, ghostpodcast.com is where you sign up to be one of those. Get all the bonus episodes of our show, exclusive content, video, lots of great stuff there at ghostpodcast.com. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony, Jenny. I'm a somewhat newer listener to your show. I love it. And I have quite a few stories that I would like to share with you guys. And I'll just give you guys one today. And I'll call back in another time and give you the others. So, nothing creepy or scary. Let me start by saying that I have never really been a religious person. Didn't really have any deep beliefs in what happens, you know, after we leave this earth. And one day in 2007, I lost my son. And it was a tragic accident. We were on vacation in the Bahamas and riding on jet skis. And my daughter driving the other jet ski hit us. And my son was 7 at the time. And it broke his neck. So he was instantly killed. Needless to say, I was traumatized. And after the funeral, I would walk around the house, and I would be so deep in my grief. I would look at my pictures of him and stare at the pictures, and I would say, baby, I don't know if you can hear me, but if you can, find a way to get in touch with me. So I would do that all the time. And I did that because I was scared. He was such a mama's boy, and I thought, if there is something after this, he's probably freaking out because he's not around me, he can't see me. What would he be thinking? And so, fast forward, about 6 months after he passed, me and his father had been divorced for a long time. And his father calls me up and says, I got a message from our son. I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? And he says that this guy that he works with, his wife, is a medium, and she said that our son came to her, and she had a message for him and a message for me. So needless to say, I'm, like, freaking out, and I'm like, well, what's her number? Can I talk to her? So he gives me her number, I call her, and we talk. And she starts telling me, you know, yeah, she said I was meditating, and your son came in, and he started talking to me, and I generally don't accept strangers like that in, but for some reason, I couldn't just push him away. Like, I felt like I needed to hear what he had to say. And she's like, this happened a little while ago, and I was, you know, scared to talk to you guys because I don't know how it's going to be received. So she began to tell me about his very first messages to her. She goes to tell me that he says, my birthday is coming up. He tells her about what his favorite toy was and how his mommy blames herself for his passing, which I kind of had, because I felt like if I had never rented the jet skis, that would have never happened. And he told her to tell me that it's not my fault, that it was just his time. And so, because I'm a grief-stricken mom and I don't necessarily trust everybody, I asked her some very specific questions, because at any time she could talk to him if she wanted to. So I started asking her detailed questions so I could find, like, she knew the answer to this, then I'm like, I know she's definitely talking to my son. And so I asked her to tell me, like, you know, what's in the top drawer of his dresser in his bedroom. And she was able to tell me that it was swimming awards from swimmies that he was on. So I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. Okay. And then so I told her, I said, well, have him tell you how me and him always tell each other we love one another. And it's a very different way. I don't know anybody else. Maybe there's someone else that talks like that, but this was just within our family. Like, no one else outside the house ever even heard us talk like that. So I would say, I love you infinity times infinity. And so that's what I was looking for her to say. And that is exactly what she came back with. And also, I said, well, what's my nickname for him? Now, his own father didn't even know the nickname that I had for my son. And she was like, I want to say it's like Buddha, you know, like the Buddha. And then she stopped and she goes, no, it's Buka, like B-U-C-A. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, so my son was really smart. The things that he told her from the beginning, you know, to pique my interest, to see that, you know, yes, Mom, this is me. I did hear you. I do want to get a message to you. I do want you to know I'm okay. And then for her to be able to, you know, tell me these very specific things about him, I was like, it's proof.
Proof.
Wow. Yeah. That is.
It's, I think, about as detailed as you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can really appreciate, because what would you do if you were the person who received these messages, but they were kind of generic?
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, well, I think this is for these people, but I think if you're going to deliver the message, you want it to be about as definitive as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
and not leave doubt with someone or make someone think that you're just coming to them with nothing,
right,
or trying to pull something, mm-hmm, you know, over. So she's right. Not a spooky story, not a scary story, but a story that is certainly involving ghosts and the other side.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that that experience with us here on the show. Hey, the trailer for It is out. Have you seen it today?
No.
Did you watch it?
No.
Repeatedly?
I haven't watched it. No. No.
You want to?
No, I don't want to.
It looks really good. I'm excited about it. It looks it's not reminding me of Stranger Things, but it is, for being, you know, it's an 80s movie, obviously.
Yeah.
For being a revival of it, they keep that setting and that feel
of the 80s.
That's at least from what I can tell on the trailer. I'm not sure if it's set in the 80s, but regardless, it doesn't really matter either way, but it sure feels like it.
So this is like a complete revamp of it?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's been so long since I've seen the first one, so I don't even know like how accurate it is to the first one, mm-hmm, or if it's like kind of another chapter. I don't know, but it looks like it's going to be good. Good movie. Good one to share with the kids on movie night, on family movie night. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, guys. So I'm calling to share a story that happened at the house I'm currently living in. It was about, I want to say 9 or 10 at night, and my entire family was at the neighbor's house watching a fight on TV, and I could care less about sports, so I decided to just stay home. And the way my house works, pretty much you can see the back door to the backyard from the living room, and in between that is the kitchen and the dining room. So you can see pretty much through the whole house if you're sitting in the living room. And I was alone, and I was sitting in the living room watching TV, and I heard like a clinking sound in the kitchen, and I look over, and I mean, I didn't see anything. I just said, I heard it, and I was like, okay, that was weird, but, you know, whatever. And then not even, you know, 30 seconds later, I hear it again, and I notice as soon as I look up and hear it, a huge, huge pot, like, full of food. It had, like, eggs and potato cooked in it. Slammed to the ground, and it was a huge pot, and it was pretty much like our counters are really big, and it was toward the back, so it was kind of impossible for it to just slide off. You have, like, it had to be pulled off, and it slammed all over the floor, made a huge mess, and, you know, I freaked out. I ran to the kitchen, and I'm like, what the hell, and I'm trying to clean it up, and so I ball up a bunch of the food in, like, napkins and start tossing it in the trash because it's all over the floor. Halfway, I'm like, two things. A, how am I going to explain this to anyone when they come back? They're just going to think I threw it away. And B, I don't really want to clean this because I was like 16 and just didn't want to clean. But I was more freaked out than anything. So I run to the front of the house and I call my mom on my cell phone. And I'm like, you need to come quick. Something weird just happened. So she runs over and literally within 30 seconds, she was like in front of the house because she was at the neighbor's house. We go into the kitchen. As I'm explaining it to her, she's like, what do you mean it's all over the ground? And I'm like, yeah, it's a huge mess. Like, I don't know how it happened. We get to the kitchen, and there's nothing on the ground. No, you know, no potatoes, no eggs, the pot, everything's back where it was, and nothing, like, absolutely nothing. And I was the only person in the house. And even if someone did clean it, it would have taken them a lot longer than 30 seconds it took me to walk back into the house. And she was like, what are you talking about? And, I mean, she can tell that I was, you know, visibly, you know, shook by this. And, yeah, we couldn't figure out how it happened, and she was just, she didn't really believe me, and then she was just, like, she literally turned around and just was going to walk away back to the neighbor's house, and she was like, are you serious? And then I'm like, no, but I swear, like, I cleaned it up. She was like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And in that split second, I thought, wait, go check the trash can. I go to the trash can, and sure enough, there's three balled up napkins with the food inside, and she just looked at me, and, her jaw dropped, and I was like, I told you. And then after that, she was like, okay, I'm just going to hang out here for a bit. And then we ended up just hanging out, and then, you know, the rest of the family came, and we told everyone, and they were, like, freaking out. But, yeah, I thought that was really weird, the fact that as much as it disappeared or whatever that, you know, whatever happened, the proof is in, you know, in the trash. Because, like, I looked at her, and I'm like, why would I literally just ball up food and throw it away? It doesn't make sense. But, yeah, I I love this show, and I really hope I get to hear this. But if not, I'm going to keep listening either way. So, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Okay, my question was going to be, did the food end up back in the pot? You know, kind of like how we've had some of those stories where it's almost like it just time just forgets that that happened. It just rewind, go back to when everything was fine, and it stays fine.
So, Martin, do you get bonus food?
I don't know.
And would you eat the bonus food then
no.
if it came from another? It's like, wait a second, I already threw this away.
If I saw it on the floor and it's back in the pot, no.
But what if you still, you find the stuff that's in the, that's thrown away. You see them both right there. One's gone, one's there. You didn't have double the food, though, but now you do.
I don't know.
Would you eat the ghost food? Could the ghost food potentially disappear once it was consumed and suddenly you're really hungry?
I'm not going to consume paranormally tainted food.
I think that's a new phrase.
Yeah.
I'm not going to consume paranormally tainted food. Hashtag shit, Jenny says.
Thanks.
It's true, though.
True story.
It is. That's like not a really crazy statement. I think that's a really...
As opposed to what I usually say.
Some are just really funny. But that, I mean, that's... I think anyone would probably agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's messed up. I would be curious, though, but was there other... I was wondering the exact same thing. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Greatly appreciate you guys listening. If you like the show, become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com to get all the episodes of our program, all the EPP bonus episodes, every single week, brand new one there for you at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.